Hip hip, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast, number 120. Hey.
120.
Yeah. 300 more, and then we'll have.
I just was thinking. Yeah, this is why we have a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Good times.
Same page.
Well, we're well and truly in, I guess, winter now, or not really. I guess technically we have like 11 more days until it's officially winter, although we have our first winter storm warning kicking in, so we're hoping the internet holds out for just a little bit, or at least long enough for you have downloaded this podcast so you can listen to it while you stay home from work or school or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, make sure to download it as soon as possible. Well, I mean, you've already downloaded it if you're listening to it, so nothing I can say. You've made your peace. Like, it's happening or it's not happening.
Such the is the internet. Passed. Right.
So if you are hearing this, congratulations. You made the right choice.
I 100% concur. The Not a Thing podcast is still a thing. It's great. We're rapidly approaching our Backtoon in Review episode. I'm not sure exactly when that'll be. Will that be next week, or will it be the week after that?
I think it'll probably be the week after, as next week is... Or no, wait. Next week? Or the week after? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's for our scheduling podcast, which we have not released any episodes of.
Yeah, the scheduling a Not a Thing podcast.
As in, our scheduling is not a thing. It's really fly by the seat of our pants.
It really is. And it's a good thing too, because a lot of the topics that we're pulling out today are amazingly relevant. Some even released this week, even today. So specifically, we'll lead off with not a fuck the police segment on the show.
Yay!
But almost worse, actually.
Oh no!
It's we're talking about the CIA today. A report came out about essentially all of the stuff that the CIA has been doing for the last few years regarding what they were calling enhanced interrogation techniques, which I believe the report just comes out and says it was torture. It was straight up torture. And had a bunch of findings. A lot of it was about what was involved in the actual techniques involved, and to some extent, like what information was gathered and how useful was it? Because it was all done under the auspices of we're making the world safer, or at least America safer. So we're going to lock up people without charging them and have all of these things done to them that we're not going to tell anyone about, and get a bunch of information that will then save a lot of American lives. And by and large, it seems like a colossal fuck up. I don't know.
Yeah, I know that the executive report itself is hundreds of pages, but let me just sum it up for you. Fuck the CIA.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, the main thrust of it that I caught was that, yes, there were all sorts of bad things going on. We'd heard about waterboarding. We'd heard about, stripping people and then, you know, subjecting them to all sorts of awful conditions. They go into a lot more detail in the report, and I will link, or we will link a couple articles, at least one that had kind of some details, and it's really hellaciously disturbing about how the details go. So, you know, I won't go into them too much, because A, they're really awful, and B, we really don't need to give them any more airtime. So, but the main thrust of the report that I was finding was that for the most part, they spent more time probably figuring out how to defend how they would talk about it than they did finding out any information that they were supposedly getting. And what I'm saying is the term enhanced interrogation techniques, those are from actual memos. The investigation found that was actually a point of discussion about how we put the public face on this in a way that doesn't sound torture-y. And I would say they really failed. I mean, I don't think anyone heard enhanced interrogation techniques and didn't think torture, especially after any news about waterboarding, which honestly sounds somewhat mild compared to some of the things that are coming out in this report. And it's just you know, what they had to show for it was very vague. There's not a lot that was ever concretely described as like, okay, this was a terrorist plot, or this was where so-and-so was, and so you can go get him without, you know, endangering thousands of people. I mean, this is essentially saying that all of that campaign of that the CIA did was not useful. It was, you know, just a real waste of time and resources. And all it did was, if you read any of the extra press that's going around, is frankly embarrass America. I mean, it really makes it sound like all the CIA does is really awful shit to people. And I think it's really telling when because it's forced a couple people to kind of break ranks about how they're discussing it. A lot of people are or not a lot, but it seems like people on the Republican side of the aisle are sort of defending the CIA at least a little bit about and keeping the party line about how vague there were vague things about information and what we were able to get and things like that. Kind of an ends justify the means thing without saying that, because anyone who says the ends justify the means and actually means it is pretty much a dick. But
so a Republican?
Yeah. But it's really telling that John McCain broke ranks and calls it for what it is and said that it's really... like, this is an embarrassment. I mean, I don't remember the exact quote, but it's something to the effect of, this is not us. This is not what Americans should be known for and doing. And
well, I would hope that the politician that actually was tortured would be against the torture report.
Right, right. And so I think...
Good for him.
Yeah, I think it's... you know, he's definitely, you know, holding conviction, and I think in this case, it's really stirring up a lot. I mean, it lent. I think that was the first thing I saw in relation to this story was that it was McCain's statement, and then, you know, digging into everything else, and it's just like, oh my God, this is crazy. So,
This is just facts to back up all the evil shit that happened during that administration that people said was happening, but there's no actual proof of. Now the proof.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think it's not a stretch to say torture is not a thing. I think having the CIA do this torture, also not a thing. Very bad from a lot of angles. I mean, it's very...
I would say every angle.
Yeah.
find me the angle that's not bad.
Yeah.
You can't even get a good movie out of it. I saw Zero Dark Thirty. That shit made me uncomfortable. And that's not... The things they did in that movie weren't even the worst things that actually happened.
Right.
There were things that happened, but they weren't the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
and it was all done in our name. Thanks for that.
Right, right. If there's anything that's going to stir up anti-American sentiment, it's reinforcing that kind of, you know, that idea that Americans are bullies. And I think this really kind of falls into that thing very, very quickly. So,
well, there are people in the media, especially at one certain news network, that are saying that we shouldn't be releasing this because it makes America look bad and America's awesome, and don't worry about it. Let's not talk about it.
Oh my God.
It makes me so angry.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the kind of bigger things about America, or at least if you really kind of examine America's history and everything else, is that, yeah, we get things wrong from time to time. And if we fix it, that's good, right? Prohibition, wrong. Fixing it, good. This stuff, wrong. Hopefully fixing it becomes a thing that is good. So we'll at least hold to that. So, you know, in the meantime, CIA, what the hell? It's so not okay. But, you know.
Yeah, if you're having trouble or you're falling asleep too much and you want some disturbing things to keep you awake, read the report. Even read excerpts of the report.
Yeah. Yeah. I've already seen...
It's so bad that we're letting the cops off the hook this week. Not that we're letting them off the hook, but we're not going to talk about them.
No. I mean, that's still developing. That's still obviously not a thing. We're not
still a major problem
endorsing it or saying that it is in any way fine. But yeah, CIA torture report... you know, we'll link it. I'm sure it'll be in the news kind of this week. Take a look, feel bad about America, kind of feel angry a little bit, and then hopefully we'll kind of figure out something else to do. It would be a good thing. Figuring out ways to make the system better, that's the thing. If anyone has any ideas, please let don't even let us know. Just go
write your congressman
straight to the people that can actually do things about it, or if you can do something about it, we'd love to have you on the air and you could talk. That would be great. It'd be good.
And if you disagree with us on this point, I'd love to have you on the podcast. If you want to come on and defend torture, you're more than welcome to.
Ooh, that could be an interesting challenge. Hmm.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, I think if anyone did that, they would probably do it under an assumed name.
No. This is on the internet, but this isn't the internet. This is the Not a Thing podcast. You get a name, you get a face.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, sounds good to me. What's interesting, if we do talk about people taking assumed names, there's an interesting identity theft case that was revealed this week. They're indicting a man who I believe has Mexican citizenship but not U.S. citizenship. And so there was identity theft involved. He'd been living in the U.S. for a little while.
It was a long time.
Yeah, it was like 40 years.
He's in his 80s.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, what's interesting is the way that the identity theft was created. Now, there are all sorts of identity theft scams for people who enter into the country illegally. Ones that we've heard of in the past were taking the name of someone who was deceased, or just taking the name of someone who lives in a different part of the country, so you don't like kind of collide in any kind of local databases or anything like that. But this guy did something really novel. What he did was he stole the identity of someone else, but in a different way. What he did was he found a target, and I think in the article that I found, they identify him just by his initials. I mean, his identity is already screwed up anyway, so oh well. But what happened was he filed a name change form for that person and changed that person's name to his own name. And that way he could identify, you know, essentially he kind of reversed the identity theft kind of methodology. So all this stuff was being issued in his real name, you know, green card, passport, all that kind of stuff. But it was done using the credentials of the victim. And so, like, the victim's birth certificate, he had it changed to his name. So it was like, oh, yeah, he was born in the U.S. at blah, 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 blah. Because there's a birth certificate that's involved. It just has this other guy's name on it. And there's all this stuff. And it's, I think, brilliant and very... very non-traditional about how it's set up, and probably will cause people to look back and figure out if this is happening in any other places. But in general, identity theft is not a thing. I think
yes,
we're not advocating at all that identity theft is a thing. It's just this is a really interesting application of it, and it just goes to show that there are people who are thinking way outside the box. So
it's a tip of the hat and a wag of the finger.
Yeah.
Like, well done, you figure that's a great plan, you're a criminal mastermind, but also no, don't do that, it's not all right.
Yeah, I think his wife is a naturalized U.S. citizen. And she's getting busted for, you know, false statements and then harboring an illegal alien. So that kind of bites. But I think, you know, they're probably going to throw the book at him as
much as you can at an 81-year-old man.
but yeah, I hope if nothing else, it causes some good database searches to be done and maybe some cleanup of laws around around that kind of stuff. I know specifically around name changes. I have personal experience with this, but in in California anyway, I'd say 95 or 96, I forget when the law changed, but you could change your name legally in California by way of a court order. And that's the way it's done now. You have to go and file some paperwork and go in front of a judge and put your name in the paper for like 4 weeks so people can have an opportunity to protest it or not. But prior to that, prior to like 1997 or something like that, you could change your name or you could arrange for your name to be legally changed if you could prove that you'd been using it for something like 5 years. So if you had put your name on a utility bill, like for water, and you'd changed your name on that just to make it easier, or you just wanted to change your name, you could bring those 5 years of water bills and say, hey, my name is this, and I've been using this all the time, so this is proof that I've changed my name. And I can see how that probably could have been abused, depending on how early or long ago this was to do. So it's just one of those things, like maybe being a little more formal about your name, especially because it is so tied to all sorts of things, is probably the better way to go. So we'll look at that. I don't think a national ID card, however, is a thing. I think we've talked about that on the show a little bit. Any kind of requirement of ID is kind of lame.
And apparently won't really protect you.
Yeah, but having an actual identity and keeping that kind of integral to who you are, that's a thing. So we're hoping that that gets cleared up and figured out.
All you need is a Twitter handle.
@NiceHat.
At Wide Lightning.
And at Not a Thing Cast.
Yes.
We cover all the bases here, except the Google Plus base. We don't cover that base. kind of going international for our next story. This is one out of China, where apparently, and I had no concept of this, but I guess in China, puns are very common, and they're used a lot in advertising, which kind of makes sense. And I guess it's because a lot of words kind of have words that sort of sound like each other, and they use that for puns, for advertising. Like there was an example of there's an expression that means like good luck to you or something like that, and one of the words sounds like peanuts or something like that, and so they used it in a peanut ad, and that's kind of an interesting and weird thing. There's probably something lost in translation there, but the short form is there's a movement in the country to make that kind of stuff illegal, because they're claiming it destroys the purity of the language to use puns. And it's they're I guess puns are being used on not only advertising, but in the media in general, and then also in news, which is not necessarily where I expect to hear puns, but you know, it's however that kind of works. Brendan, what's your thought on this?
Utter bullshit.
Yes, not a thing. Absolutely,
we're making puns illegal is absurd.
Yes,
100%, and the argument being it will was it risk nothing less than cultural and linguistic chaos, and it will confuse. And they said it will confuse children.
Yes,
children don't know what the hell's going on anyway. That's one of the ways we get to have fun as adults that children don't get to enjoy yet. You're gonna take that away from the Chinese?
Yeah, that's it's pretty silly. I think of all the things that they could be working on in China, puns maybe not high on the list. Air quality, human rights violations. there's a bunch of things in between those and puns. So we're gonna say not a thing on that one.
Although, if you're comparing American not a things to Chinese not a things, banning puns is a lot better than torture.
I think the folks.
But it wouldn't surprise me if there's torture going on in China as well. So then they've got the double negative.
Right.
Which you're not allowed to do in English.
No, maybe you can in Mandarin or Cantonese. I don't know enough.
If you can have double negatives and no puns, that language doesn't make sense.
Well, let's move from our not a thing kind of category. We kind of stacked our not a things a little bit in favor of some things. And I think we're leading off with a good, solid American thing this time.
America!
Yeah. That stuff we said earlier, you know, it's still true, but there's still good stuff happening in the good old US of A. Specifically, some stuff that I was actually awake for. It was kind of fortuitously had this kind of flash of insomnia and had woken up and gotten on Twitter just in time to see some news about the Orion spacecraft. I think we talked about this a little bit, but the Orion spacecraft is the prototype for missions to Mars, manned missions to Mars. So it's kind of an Apollo-style thing where there's a launch vehicle and there's an orbiter that will separate from the vehicle, and it's not a shuttle style. It's the kind of, you know, front part of the nose cone of a rocket.
It's America rocket. Which really, I guess, is a German rocket, but it's America rocket.
Right. So this is using a new launch system, which was specifically designed for this. The last time we had non-shuttle spacecraft things, we were still using like it was the Apollo program, so the big old like Saturn V rocket. This is like this multi-rocket base thing, and then it has a central fuel column, and then that's the secondary kind of rocket phase. I actually was able to find a stream and then watch it. I wasn't able to hear anything, but I saw
it would have been too loud.
Yeah, it probably would have been too loud. But I did see it just leaving the atmosphere anyway, kind of on external cameras still. And then they flipped over to the telemetry screens. And I did get to see a couple of the booster separations and panels that popped off. And then it successfully orbited, I think it was for 2 hours? I forget how long. It wasn't that long, but it was more of a proof of concept to make sure that everything would go great. I think the only thing that didn't go great was that it didn't leave the day that they were going to do it because of high winds. So they pushed it to the next day, and it worked fine. So I don't know what's left between Let's Go to Mars and now, but the less the better. I think I want to go to Mars. It just sounds so cool. Yay, space. We're back in space again, or almost.
We have a big decision to make. We can either stop fucking up the Earth or really work on our space travel.
I like to think those are not mutually exclusive.
They're not mutually exclusive, but you really have to choose at least one.
Yes, yes. Please choose one. At least one.
If you don't do at least one, then you're in real trouble.
Yeah, yeah. So going to Mars, still a thing. I know we have some robots hanging out, wheeling and dealing around over there. It would be nice to get kind of some people out there too. It'd be cool. It'd be interesting to see like what comes out of that kind of as a program. I'm still just a big fan of putting stuff in space. 100% a thing. So
not just stuff though. I mean, are you saying you're in favor of space junk? Because that's a real problem.
It is. It is. I watched Gravity. Yeah. Well, if there's any space junk, maybe we can shoot it down with lasers. Maybe we'll resurrect the Star Wars program and figure that out. But until then, the Navy announced that they just got clearance to use a laser that we talked about on the show. It's specifically built to shoot down drones. And as anyone knows that's listened to the Not a Thing podcast, drones are not a thing.
Well, no, we've been talking about this laser program for 2 years.
Yeah.
And now it's finally getting deployed.
Yeah. So this is a laser, it's laser weapon system, which is not the greatest name when you see that written out, but the way they do the acronym on it turns it into LAWS.
It's the Judge Dredd of weapons.
Yes, it's really quite amazing. So the I think it was the Navy released a video of it in action, and they do show it shooting down a drone. So yay, that's completely a thing. But interestingly, they show that it can be used against I was going to say terrestrial targets, but I guess it's on the water, so I don't know.
Aquatic?
Sure. Just targets. I mean, they're using it not to shoot things out of the air. They're using it to shoot at just things. And so specifically, they have it demonstrating that they can target moving boats and targets on those moving boats. So there's a little like box of explosives that they shoot off of the deck of a boat, and then there's another boat that looks like it has kind of a rocket array mounted to kind of a structure on the boat, and they shoot at it and it blows up spectacularly.
But you can't shoot people because that's against the Geneva Convention. There's no lasing people, but you can lase the boat that somebody's on.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I say next stop Somalia.
Impressively enough, they shoot these things with a fair amount of accuracy. I mean, it looks like they're moving targets. They don't really say how far away they are, but I mean, they're using kind of, you know, optics to see them. And so it's got to be a pretty good distance. It looks like otherwise they hit the thing that they're shooting at and the boat seems otherwise unharmed. So it looks like the targeting is really good. I think the best part about the targeting is the thing that the operator is using to shoot at the targets. It looks like the original Xbox controller, like the really fat one. Like it's this huge kind of bricky thing, and it's got, you know, buttons on it. And the guy, it's great. In the video, the demo video, the guy shooting at it, he's even kind of slouched over with a headset. It's just perfect.
He's just missing a bottle of Mountain Dew.
He is at least wearing, you know, camouflage fatigues, which, I mean, I don't understand why you have to wear camouflage when you're inside of a boat, but...
Because badass? I don't know. I have no reasonable explanation. I will say that now that we have reached this point with laser technology, we really need to pump the brakes on the AI development.
Right. Let's not maybe have too much of in the way of guidance control on these.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep it with the controller. I like the Xbox controller.
Yeah, 100%. Well, in terms of other kinds of things that computers are still good at, we can still have computers do things. One thing that some computers did this week was, with some design help from people, there was a dress that was 3D printed. Now, I don't know if we talked about it a while ago when kind of glamour model Dita Von Teese did a similar thing. She had a dress printed to her, and it's like gorgeous because she's obviously gorgeous, so it kind of worked. This looks more like kind of a almost like a sundress kind of thing, and what's interesting is it moves in a really kind of cloth-like flowy way because it's made of little triangles that are hinged kind of in a novel way, so they don't like clack around and look like they're solid pieces. I mean, I think the big thing for the Dita Von Teese dress was that one was it looked fine when she was standing, but it looked like she couldn't move in it. It looked like it was one of those, like it was like a wire mesh that some stuff was put on top of, so it wouldn't move at all. Whereas this looks like it flows and has kind of a weight to it. So it's interesting. It's from a company that that I had heard of because they made jewelry, like necklaces and stuff. But you can modify them online and then send them to a 3D printer. So I don't know if they're making the pattern for the dress available to be 3D printed. Somewhat unfortunately, I don't wear dresses because it sounds really cool, and I think one of these
who like to wear dresses.
I I'm gonna have to rack my brain. We'll see. I might have to see if there are any guests of the show that would be interested. We'll see. I'll look through the Rolodex. If you think wearing a dress is a thing, and wearing a 3D printed dress is interesting, I'd love to have you on the podcast. We'll talk. let's see, what else did we got this week? Also in kind of interesting technology vein is, I wish I'd written down the company that made this. It's a
Talkcase.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Talkcase?
Talkcase.
Like, okay.
TALKASE.
Okay, awesome. This is I think it's a Kickstarter for a phone, but it's not any phone. It's a phone that fits in a case. Yes. I mean, I think a lot of they make a lot of cases for phones, but specifically this phone is meant to fit in a case that then fits around an iPhone. So this is a phone that you would put in an iPhone case that also has an iPhone in it. And it's meant to be kind of a backup phone, I guess, a secondary phone. It can also be used as a handset for your iPhone. And it's a minimal phone. So it's just the phone feature. So just the the keypad, and then a dial button. It looks like, I don't think you can even text.
It has an LED. It has an LED screen.
Oh, it does have a screen. Okay.
Yeah, and it's the size of a credit card.
Yeah.
So you could use this as your regular phone. It doesn't need to be used
as a backup.
It's so tiny.
It is. We are approaching Zoolander levels of phone tininess.
Yes. The phone for ants.
I think that is interesting that the miniaturization is actually that small, but everything about phones otherwise is getting so much bigger.
That's why iPhone, I like it.
Yeah, the iPhone 6 and the 6 Plus are massive things. And so, and you know, Samsung has been making, you know, huge Android phones for a long time. Like, the fact that the word phablet is a thing is so not a thing.
No, it's not a thing. No.
Right. So, I think it's interesting, you know, miniature phones, very, very interesting. I'd like to see a little more about it. I mean, it is kind of saying that, yes, there is still a need for phones that are just phones. I think that might be, that's an interesting kind of supposition. So I don't know. Do you think that's true?
I like it.
Okay.
It's so small.
Yeah. I think I don't end up talking on my phone as much as I do texting, which is funny because I used to be all over talking on phones, but I know that I have a rollover plan for my phone, and I never max that out.
No. You have all the minutes remaining. Yeah.
So many minutes. So if anyone wants to call the Not a Thing podcast, maybe I can figure out a way to patch my phone into the show. Although I guess we can't take calls live because it's a podcast. That doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, I guess someone could call us through Google Plus right now if they knew we were recording.
Well, if they knew we were recording, they should just be a guest on the show. That's a thing.
That's true. Yeah, expected guests are better than unexpected guests, especially on a podcast that's being recorded.
So, really interesting story about guests and podcasts and all that kind of stuff. Today, while I was walking around at work, someone came up to me and then asked me the following question. And I'm trying to remember it. Let me get it completely in my head. But if I can get it right, it's great. Someone asked me, so, hey, Alan, have you heard or do you know anything about podcasting? Or do you know anyone that does that? It was awesome. So someone asked me that.
How many minutes later did that conversation end?
So there was a period of laughter and then acknowledgement. So what's happening is one of my coworkers agreed to be interviewed on a podcast that I don't know if it exists yet, so I'm not going to plug them yet. It is by someone that that I've tweeted with back and forth. So I kind of want to see if we can work something out before I announce it, but they wanted to have one of my coworkers on as a guest and gave her, unfortunately, no information about how to be on the show. So it sounded like, and they were doing something different than the way we record it. The way we record the show, we're both on Google Plus, and then I record it using Audacity, and then I pipe the audio of both the local and your side of it through a couple things, and that works. What they're doing, and I thought this was interesting, and I don't know how it works, but they are both independently recording the show, and then she's going to send the file to him, and he's going to mix them.
That seems like a lot of work.
It does. It does. So that's also why I don't want to necessarily up their show. I want to talk to them a little bit.
120 episodes in, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We're not changing how we do things.
No, this show has been working fine. I think it's been good. And what's nice is that when we have added guests to the show, we've had local guests, we've had remote guests, And it seems to work reasonably well. So we're going to keep on with the Not a Thing podcast as it is. But I just thought, what a great story to relate on podcast day. It was great.
So, yeah.
So she got set up, recorded fine, set her up with Audacity and an extra blue microphone. It wasn't the Snowball. We have a Yeti microphone at work, which looks super slick. So if anyone wants to, toss any sponsorship gear our way, that's a fine piece of podcasting equipment. I think we're both using blue microphones. Is that right?
We are.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They're good. You know, would be nice to upgrade maybe. But if you'd like to in any way work with the show, if you want to be on a podcast, if you'd like to be a guest, if you'd like to sponsor the show, hashtag Flat Earth, if you'd like to kind of work with us about some topics, let us know. It'd be great. You can tweet at us at the aforementioned handles, or Facebook the show, or catch us in the hallway and pass us a note and, you know, give us an idea. It'd be great. The Not a Thing podcast is...
If you have an idea for something that you would want us to do, like do a different kind of show, I'm sure we could make some changes to the format to have a guest on. If there's didn't feel comfortable speaking about things and not things, we could do like a special episode of another themed podcast. We can rent ourselves out as hosts for whatever podcast you want to hear.
For a very, very small fee.
We'll work for beer.
Well, we're continuing the show as best we can. We still have a couple more episodes this year. We'll round it out like we did last Backtoon, and we'll work it out. It'll be good.
And yes, we know that it's not a new Backtoon, but a podcast year is officially a Backtoon because we said so.
Hear, hear. Backtoons are a thing. Right on. Brendan, I will talk to you next week.
Till next time, Alan.